Hello, and welcome to the School and Community Relations Podcast, where today we will be discussing Chapter 13 regarding the use of online tactics to communicate in schools. Before we hear from our guest today, I want to give a brief overview of the information presented in this chapter so that listeners are prepared to hear the conversations today. Chapter 13 primarily dealt with three major issues when it comes to online communication. First and foremost, what are the ways in which school districts are communicating via online methods? What tactics are they using and how are they deploying these tactics? Second, what is the two-way nature of online communication and how does that help to improve public engagement and support school and community relations? And third, the ongoing evolution of online communication by schools and the challenges posed to school communicators in keeping pace with evolving technology and audience expectations. The ways in which school districts are using online methods to communicate are vast, from websites to mobile apps and social media, as well as a variety of other methods in between. It is true that online communication is increasing at a rapid rate. But though online communication is increasing and print communication is decreasing, we cannot eliminate print communication entirely. It's important to know your community preferences and accommodate those, which means we must continue to use print communication as a supplement to online communication. It's true. Online communication provides a massive savings, and the availability of materials immediately is very key, but the use of print and online materials together is a much more productive use of communication as a school district, as it needs to meet the needs of all of its stakeholders. When it comes to that continued use of online communication tactics as well, it's true there are a variety of do's and don'ts when it comes to what every school website should have and the use of social media for a variety of reasons. But what's most important when it comes to deploying an increasing number of online tactics to communicate is that your school district strategically plans for this online communication as a whole. This way, online communications are cohesive and work together across all classrooms and all buildings that are located within a same school district. And as a part of that strategic plan, it's important to include a way to evaluate online communication tactics as well. Once a strategic plan has been put into motion and a school district is using an increasing number of online communications, there needs to be a way to evaluate the effectiveness of it. It's true, you're going to receive a lot of feedback from outside sources, and that can be a way to evaluate your online communications, but a method that is put in place with a plan is a much more cohesive way to evaluate the effectiveness of that online communication. Finally, it's important to recognize the ongoing evolution of online communication and how it is sometimes difficult to keep pace with the evolving technology and audience expectations. Like I stated, it's important to understand who your stakeholders are and how they expect to receive their information. And some of them expect to receive information with new and improved technology. As a part of your strategic plan, it's important to include a professional development plan. How are you going to help teachers and school district employees be prepared to communicate with evolving technology? You need to be flexible and you need to include ways for them to learn and grow within those different online communication methods. On today's podcast, you are going to hear from a variety of stakeholders from Westview Elementary, as well as the Excelsior Springs School District as a whole. You're going to hear from a parent, a teacher, a principal and assistant principal, a title reading teacher, and a student. Sit back, relax, and enjoy their take on how online communication is currently being used in a variety of ways within the Excelsior Springs School District. Okay, I'm sitting down with Michelle Huttmiller, and she's a fifth grade teacher here at Westview, and I'm going to ask her some questions from a point of view of being a teacher at the building, how she views online communication here. So how do you, as a teacher, primarily communicate with your students and parents?
With the parents, it's typically it's a newsletter that I send out in an email. If there's anything that misses the newsletter or comes up between newsletters, then it's an email. I've dabbled in Remind, but I found that too many platforms became hard to manage, so I've just really stuck with the one, which was email. Students, I use Google Classroom. Mm-hmm. For the most of that.
Do you use a newsletter template, or is it just an email that you send out?
I have really struggled because I enjoyed using S'more, but that is a paid purchase, and I just can't fork that out. So I'm lucky that my personal computer has a program that I can use as a template for my newsletters. But if I didn't have my own computer, then I would be stuck making it from scratch or putting it in an email.
Life of a teacher, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Gotta figure out how to do it on our own sometimes.
So.
What types of things then do you send to your students via Google Classroom to communicate with them?
Lots of Google documents, or I enjoy using the features that Google Classroom has. So, for example, morning work, I used to put it up on the board, realized that kids weren't reading it, or if I was asking them to go to a certain website, it was hard for them to do that. So I started putting all of morning work on a Google document that they could access through Google Classroom. It was a living document, so it would change every day, every week, and it had links and activities they could do. That was the one of the biggest ones. And then I also, on that document, communicate any like daily changes, because at this age, they're very concerned with things that are happening day to day.
That's true. So you say you primarily communicate using online or technology to communicate with parents and, mm-hmm. and students on it on kind of a mass basis. What do you feel like are the pros of that, or maybe the cons of that?
Pros, it is quick and easy to access. Parents can get it. It's right there. They can look at it on their phone. The formats, you know, that I send out are PDF, and most smartphones can pull up a PDF. So it's quick and easy and accessible. I can embed links. So, you know, it really kind of takes it into that 21st century aspect. Cons, don't know if they're reading it, you know, and that's a big struggle for me because I feel like I put a lot of time and effort into it and I don't always know if it's getting read.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever provide an alternative, like, newsletter to any families or parents?
The furthest I go is a printed one, but outside of that, no.
So then as a teacher here, how often do you visit our school website or school social media accounts to get information about the school?
I would honestly say about once a week. Like, I know I go there quite frequently to look at district calendar, because that's really the only place that I feel like I can find it. Our health initiative, I go there for it, especially if I'm linking parents to that. Social media sites, yeah, I go and look for, you know, I keep up with it from time to time, but not, I'd say maybe once a week.
Do you feel like our website sometimes is confusing and hard to find things?
Yeah. I don't feel like it's logically organized all the time.
Did you know we have a school district app?
I did not. I had no idea. And quite frankly, I don't know that it's useful, even if I did know about it.
Because I think the calendar might be on there. So it might be an easier way to find it. Okay. You get notifications, too. I just downloaded it the other day.
Good to know.
So then as a teacher, how are you getting information? And through an online formats, how are you being shared information from the building or district level?
Usually it's just emails, which is better than nothing. Because at least I have something I can refer back to whenever I need to know what's coming up or what's going on or decisions that have been made. But I do feel like sometimes we are inundated with a ton of emails and it's hard to keep straight what's important, what's not important. Do I delete? Do I not delete? And then it just doesn't make it easy to find. I think a newsletter, a more structured newsletter would be helpful. Because then it's an actual document that I can save mm-hmm. or that stands out more. I don't know.
Would you think from the building level or from the district level?
Both. I'd like to see it from both. Yeah.
How often do you feel like a newsletter from those higher up levels would be beneficial?
District, I'd say maybe like once a month, honestly. Building, and I know what I'm asking for is a lot because I know if they turned around and asked me for it weekly, I'd be like, oh my gosh, is there really enough to put into a newsletter weekly? But I feel like at a building level, we do have a lot of stuff that's going on. So I think a weekly update's good.
Well, thank you for talking to me today. I know your day is busy, so I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So I have Maya here, and she is a fifth grader here at WESU. And I'm gonna ask you some questions about how you use online tools to communicate. Do you have social media, Maya?
Yes.
What social media do you have?
Like,
Facebook.
I have Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram.
Do you follow like Westview Elementary's page on Facebook?
No, I do not. But my mom does.
Your mom does?
Mm-hmm. And I do get on her phone a lot.
So you get to see it through like your mom's Facebook? Yeah. Or I don't know if Westview has Instagram. I don't think we do. I know we don't have Snapchat, so that wouldn't be something that you check there.
Yeah.
So, do you have a phone?
Yeah.
Did you know that we have an app for our district that you could download on your phone?
Yeah. Is it PowerSchool?
Well, there's a PowerSchool app. There's a Excelsior Springs School District app, too. Oh. That's got, like, a calendar. You can check, like, what's for lunch if you wanted to see what the lunch schedule was.
Oh, I've never knew that.
Yeah, I know. I didn't really know it either until just not that long ago, and then I downloaded it so I could see what it was all about. It's actually got quite a few stuff on it. You should download it to your phone. If you're allowed to, of course.
Yeah.
You got to ask first. Yeah. So you get any sort of news on your social media, or you just use it to, like, keep up with friends?
I mean, there's not much news. Like, sometimes on Facebook and stuff and Instagram, I'll see, like, pictures of family and stuff, but there's not much news that I really get on those.
Just kind of checking up what's going on with friends and stuff?
Yep.
Do you ever read the newsletter that your teacher sends out?
Yes. She usually doesn't send it to, like, she usually doesn't use paper. Mm-hmm. She'll usually send it to my mom, but I usually try to read that. That way I know what's going on during the weeks.
That's good. Do you think a lot of fifth graders read it, or just not that, or just a couple?
I think just a couple, not many.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's because if she, like, when you don't have a paper one, mm-hmm. a lot of kids, like, they have their own phone. And so if it doesn't get sent to them, or it's, like, they're not really on their parents' phone.
So it goes to their parents instead.
Yeah, and the parents really find out, not really the kids.
I see what you mean. Do you think it'd be easier if she sent it to, like, your Google Classroom? Can you get on that on your phone?
Yeah, I have Google Classroom.
So if she sent a link, like, through Google Classroom, would you read it on your own
phone?
Yeah,
even if she sent it to, like, the classroom, Google Classroom, mm-hmm. like, that would be a lot easier for us to, like, check on if we ever have extra time to, like, see what's going on mm-hmm. tomorrow.
Because you have your iPad, too.
Yeah. Then. So we'd just see what's going on tomorrow and the next days. Yeah. And
do you prefer to, like, read it online as opposed to paper, or do you think paper is better sometimes?
Sometimes it's easier to read it on paper because once you read it, like, on phones and stuff, I kind of forget. Like, once I have it on paper in my backpack, I go in my backpack more.
It's easier to remember because it's, like, right there in your hands. All right, well, thanks for talking to me, Maya.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sitting here with Kristen Eels, and she is the parent of a student here at Westview. And I'm going to ask her some questions in regards to online communication from the point of view of a parent here at Westview Elementary. So how much online information do you receive as a parent?
I think from a parent's perspective, the majority of information that's coming home is through some sort of online communication tool, whether that be from the classroom teacher. She uses the Seesaw app to send out, not necessarily, we don't get a newsletter, but we get kind of like updates through Seesaw. And then from a building and district perspective, the majority of things that I see are via Facebook, sometimes email from the district.
Do you find that the information then from the teacher through Seesaw is more helpful and more informative than what you get via social media?
Yes. Like, I tend to go to Seesaw, and my daughter's teacher does a really good job of, like, regularly updating things on there, whereas with the Facebook communication from the district and sometimes the building, that's kind of hit and miss because it doesn't necessarily show up, and I know I'm not on there necessarily looking for that, so the Seesaw app is really helpful.
So you find that you don't mind not getting a newsletter because you get more from the Seesaw?
No, I don't mind not having, I'd rather it be short, concise, and not on a piece of paper.
That's what I hear often. Do you often visit the Excelsior Springs School District website for information at all?
No, not as a parent. I don't often visit. I do sometimes if I'm looking for something regarding the calendar, like right offhand, I have pulled up the calendar to check a date of a specific event or maybe something with spring break or other dates off, but usually I don't use the district website.
If you had to make a suggestion from a parent's point of view in order to help improve the communication, whether that be at a building level or a district level, what would you say would be your suggestion?
I think my suggestion would be fully thinking through before information is sent out so that it's not necessarily, sometimes it feels like it's coming out sporadically, so it's tough to keep up with. Whereas if we had maybe one one place to go, or if things were sent out in bulk, then maybe that would be helpful so you're not trying to keep up with those different posts.
Well, thank you for talking with me today. You're welcome. I appreciate it. Okay, so I'm sitting down with Jessica Bradbent and Annalisa Goldner, the principal and assistant principal here at Westview. We're going to chat a little bit about online communication from the administrator's viewpoint. So first and foremost, how do you guys find yourself communicating to your building as an administrator through online forms?
We communicate through email, Facebook, Twitter. We have group pages. We have a group Facebook page that's just for staff outside of even just our parent Facebook page. That's pretty much primarily how we communicate.
Sometimes school messenger.
Yeah.
If we need to get phone calls out quickly.
And then when you think about the online communications that you guys do, what do you think is the greatest perk to being able to communicate online through those means?
That's fast.
Timely.
Timely, yeah. I would just say it's quick and you can get a bulk amount of information in a fast time frame.
And do you guys feel like there's PR challenges associated with that online communication as well?
Absolutely. Whenever you send emails out to staff, when you're just stating facts, sometimes there's emotion or assumptions that people can put tag and put into it. On Facebook, parents can respond, and then not being able to respond back to their questions sometimes in a timely manner if you don't have some of those notifications set. So those would be kind of the downfalls.
Or comments that are made under a post on Facebook that then get information to be misconstrued or just kind of gets hairy pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. It can change the tone of the information that you're wanting to get across pretty quickly.
How do you guys typically handle when a situation like that comes up?
With staff, I always like to have a face-to-face conversation. I call and tell them to come see me, and hash out, and parents do the same thing. If a parent on Facebook, instead of getting into a back-and-forth battle, if I can answer what their questions are with just facts, we'll do that. If not, Jessica and I, one of them will reach out and call. And
we make the phone call.
Yeah. And we make the phone call and we talk to them, and then usually the post or something can comes down and it rectifies the situation pretty quickly.
How do you guys, so thinking from an administrator standpoint, you guys are getting information from a district level. How do you guys primarily receive that information?
What do you mean?
From like central office.
Depends. Text messages, emails, phone calls.
So primarily online type of communication as well.
If it's outside of like our normal regular admin meetings
and things like that. So when you think about from a building level first, do you think it's important to have a cohesiveness from classroom to classroom and how teachers are communicating at a building level?
Yes. I do, because parents talk and they communicate. And then you also have siblings that are sometimes are indifferent and they always want to know, what's your teacher send out? What's going on in that classroom, or what's going on a building level? So it's nice to make sure that we're all kind of consistent and on the same page. I'm not saying that every grade level has to communicate the exact same way, but a newsletter and some form of communication has to be and needs to be consistent.
Do you guys have building expectations for teachers as far as communication goes then?
Yeah. They have to send out a newsletter bi-monthly, and we set that at the very beginning of the school year. And then they need to make sure that they tag either one of us so we kind of know what's going on in their classrooms as well.
And it doesn't have to be online?
Nope, it does not.
Can be paper as
whatever
well.
Whatever they feel most comfortable with.
We have a lot of teachers who send out a digital newsletter or hard copy, but then they also have Remind as a way to quickly communicate with those parents as well. So,
yeah, we have some that don't maybe necessarily do a newsletter, but they do blooms, or they have some kind of page that they just post out as time goes. So it doesn't have to necessarily be a bi-monthly newsletter, but they need to be communicating parents and getting that information out just outside of even from us at a district or a building level.
If you guys could choose, would you prefer to have teachers at your building kind of all go the same route with communication, or do you think it's okay that one teacher uses Seesaw, one uses Blooms, one just sends it through email?
From a high up admin perspective, it would be nice if everybody was the same. However, everybody's different.
Personalities. Yep. Comfortability. Yeah. It would be, I would love it if everybody did the exact same thing. It'd be very nice.
But also on the other side of it, it gives parents kind of a perspective of different social tools that they could use too. Also, when you look at third, fourth, fifth grade, you know, it kind of gives those kids an opportunity to learn a different platform as well. So there's pros and cons on both sides of that.
Yeah. Especially as they get older in middle school and high school, they communicate and coaches and getting familiar with all different kinds. So.
Do you feel like the majority of teachers use some sort of online communication rather than printed?
Yeah,
for the majority?
I'd say yes.
We have 24 classroom teachers, and out of 24, I would say at least 20 to 21 of them are online.
Yep, I would say.
So it's definitely the trend.
Well, it's easy. It's quick. It's accessible. They can do it from their phone. So it's a lot, I don't know, more convenient.
Yeah. So when you think district level, building to building, do you think it's important for each building to have the same sort of expectations as far as, at least as far as online communication goes?
I do, yeah.
We just went through a communication plan like 3 or 4 years ago, and that was one of the big things was, what do those platforms look like? If we're going to use Facebook, are we using Twitter? And our building web pages, and what does that look like? What are those, each of those platforms specific for? So we've kind of had those conversations, and
even
feel like...
Even like what your hashtag, your building, what your...
Yeah.
What is your label?
Mm-hmm. Building hashtag.
Your stamp.
Mm-hmm. And then
what's your
district.
Stamp?
Mm-hmm. District hashtag.
Mm-hmm. And even PD.
Yep. Your professional development.
What's the professional development? What do you use when you get that? It's been a few years, but
yeah. Do you feel like that's something that we did a couple years ago? We have it, but maybe something that we need to like make more known sometimes.
Yeah. It's like the cycle. Every 2 to 3 years, you should probably touch base on it again.
And revisit. And because there's new and there's more things, technology changes daily. It's, you know, it evolves quite rapidly.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks for talking to me.
Well, thanks for having us.
Okay, so I'm sitting here with Dana Barnes, who is a title reading teacher here at Westview. I have some questions for you about how you use online communication in your role. Now, I know that you have been publishing a podcast for the building. Can you tell me a little more about it?
Well, our podcast is primarily focused for students and sharing their writing pieces. We implemented this after some research on how to increase student audience and then having them deliver their pieces through the podcast. It was just to try to motivate them and create a larger audience for them and seeing more of a purpose in writing than just to the teacher.
I definitely feel like the podcast mode of communication allows a much wider audience to see their writing than would just reading their piece to their classroom or something like that.
But some of their first questions are, will this be on our website, or will this be, you know, they are starting to see the larger audience and understanding that someone else is going to actually hear this, so they'll start editing while
makes
we're
it
kind
real
of in the middle.
Makes it real and important. So as a title teacher, how do you guys, because I know there's multiple title teachers across multiple buildings in the school district, how do you guys communicate mostly with each other?
Honestly, I would say probably the most through email, texting. I mean, we also have like a Google Drive, and that's where we house all of the lovely paperwork that we have to generate. So I would say that we communicate primarily through email and text.
Now, when it comes to communicating with the stakeholders in the community, whether that be parents or students or just community members, how do you guys go about doing that?
The way that we set that up is through the family parent engagement, like those nights where we have literacy night, STEAM night, and then also we have the compacts that go out at the beginning of the school year. So
and those are paper, right?
A lot of those are. We try to get that to be part of the digital folder that the parents actually get at the beginning of the school year. But thus far, Desi hasn't been okay with us just transferring that over to a digital signature. So,
is there a place, I've been talking to teachers a lot about the ways that they communicate. Most of them use kind of the same thing, email. Mm-hmm. I've talked a little bit with different teachers about if they use our school district website, and a lot of them kind of maybe a little bit, but not that often. Is there a place on our school district website where there is title information?
There are some links on our title on our website that are primarily just for parents, and their engagement policy is listed there.
So. Do you feel like people go there at all to look
probably
at them?
Probably not. I really don't. I think probably the most feedback I get is through the Anchor app that I shared with you with for parents. I see more interaction there and on Twitter, to be honest.
You guys have a title Twitter?
Not title Twitter, but just when I post things to Twitter, I see more, you know, likes or, you know, retweets than I probably have ever had a parent say, oh, I saw this on the website.
Mm-hmm. Does title send out a newsletter?
We don't. Is that We talked about it, yes. Yeah. That's been talked about. That has been discussed.
Well, awesome. Thank you for talking to me.
Sure.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the School and Community Relations podcast today as we discuss Chapter 13 and online communication and how it specifically relates to one school district. I hope you had the chance to reflect on your use of online communication as well as online communication in your school district as a whole.